The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
You're at the point where you're losing your lease in a very short period of time. You could have just started looking for space, right? And you're going to move. But what was the impetus? Do you remember why you said, you know what, let's buy an operating business and move to that location versus just finding another space?
Well, so there wasn't a lot of real estate that was around. And when the real estate was there, you have to do the build out and the fit out.
Right.
And you had to look at what the square foot cost is going to be. And then, you know, make sure that I can relocate all of my equipment that I had, that I spent, you know, the loan that I took, it was a lot of money. And,
right,
you know, I needed that to bring that with me. Listen, I'm scrappy. I'm resourceful. I will do what I have to do. And I always plan, do, and review. So I was just exploring my options. I was looking for
different. So you didn't know at that point if you could find a business, you might have to open another location.
100%. But there wasn't a lot of real estate in between the two lights where I knew where I wanted to be.
Yeah. So you had really a small footprint that would really be your optimal place. Because, I mean, how far in your estimate do people go? Like if you say, okay, well, we couldn't find anything in Burnsville, so now we have to move to, what's a town nearby you that's a little bit further away?
Basking Ridge.
Yeah, okay, so you got to move to Basking Ridge. Are they going to go, like, how far could you move? And the people that like you and you cut their hair, they're going to go there.
If you built up a really strong clientele, they will follow you probably up to 20 miles or so, but it's extra. And that was not in my plan.
Right.
To move towns. My plan
was
hard.
That's an hour round trip, basically, for somebody.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit BeinhackerLaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi, I'm Jessica with Jay Walker Salons and Wellness Center. We are located in Burnsville, Basking Ridge, Mendham, and we believe that when your outer looks good, your inner feels better. We are here catering to professionals alike, and if you ever need any of our services, you can look us up on the web at jwalkersalon.com.
All right, Jessica, so thanks for coming on the podcast, and I think, was it Jack Killian that connected us?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, Jack's great. He connects me with a lot of people, and you're local, I'm local, so I love talking to, I talk to people all over the world, but when it's really us, like locally, you know, we really have a better understanding of what's really going on in our economy, especially in the business that you are in, where you're dealing with people and stuff that they, you know, taking care of themselves and feeling good about themselves and all that kind of stuff. But it's not life or death. So like we were talking off the mic that it's a roller coaster right now for everybody. But let's go back to like your background and how you got into business, why you started the salon, and then we'll get to where we are today. We can have all the philosophical discussions.
Absolutely. Okay. So I love making people feel good. I love helping people be their most confident self. It started out when I was a little girl. I always would try to help someone any way that I can with, you know, looking good, feeling good, helping to make money, connecting people. And then this hair thing happened upon me and I started my business 24 years ago. So I love what I do. I love the people that I work with. And personal care is a very, very important
part. So you were always in personal care, salons, styling, all that stuff.
Yes. I started at 19. I opened my business. So a couple of years before that, I was really young. I started assisting in a salon and took it from there. So I opened at a really young age.
I think people watching aren't going to believe that you're in your 40s. So you don't look that way. So, okay. But so it gave away a little bit of a secret, but that's all right.
That's okay. That's okay. That's why we're in the beauty industry, right?
Right.
You want to keep your beauty on.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So let's go back. So how did you get started? Did you know anything about business? Did you take a course? You write a plan? You just wing it? I mean, what'd you do?
So my family, I come from a family of entrepreneurs. They had a bunch of businesses and I had been working in them literally since I was about 10 years old. So I watched, I learned, and I was taken by surprise when my family came back and my dad said, you know, I found a space for you. You're going to open up a salon. And I had just literally, I was just finishing up cosmetology school and I was like, Dad, I don't even know how to cut hair.
And you thought you were going to work for somebody, right?
Exactly. And I was working for somebody. I was actually working for two different places at the same time.
Okay.
In different necks of the woods. But, you know, I took a deep breath and my family gave me a loan. And I said, look, I can make money or I can make excuses. You can't do both. And I rolled my sleeves up and it was hard, but I was excited because I knew people and I really had a basic understanding of business. Of course, it wasn't, I didn't have, you know, my MBA. So it definitely was uncomfortable and uncharted waters, but I really feel like I was in a community that was accepting of me and I was able to hire a couple of talented people and we really immersed ourselves in education and getting to know the technical part of the industry. And I feel as though, you know, emotional intelligence plays a key role in relationship development and your intuition. And I think that, you know, getting involved with my community, giving back to the different organizations that were local really helped me get roots in this community. And, you know, hence I'm still here trucking along 24 years later.
You're in the same location that you were 24 years ago?
I relocated at one time from the where I started in a shopping center. I'd lost my lease 5 years in on a technicality. So I had to move.
Really?
And that was really, really difficult because I'd grown a really good sized business with a great clientele. And I had 10 to 12 employees. And I got a letter that said, you have 60 days to vacate. And I was like, what are you talking about?
So basically it was some technicality. They were able to throw you out.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to. They wanted me to renew my lease and renew my option in writing. And I called on the phone.
I've had clients get screwed that way.
That's right.
So yeah.
Hence why
commercial is commercial. You got to follow the contract. It's not like a residential tenancy where you get certain protections under the law.
Absolutely. But then that door closed. So what I started doing, I was flipping out. I was 9 months pregnant with my third child. And I started cold calling salons to say, are you interested in selling? And I knew that I had to be in between two lights here in Bernardsville. There's a small center of town that's the heart of Bernardsville, and you can't really take your clientele and move them.
Right.
So luckily, the person across the street was in a standalone building. They said they were interested. So we started the talks, the negotiations.
So they weren't really looking to sell. You kind of approached them, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always through adversity, there's opportunity. And that door closing and that tragedy really opened up a place for me to be able to come into this particular building and then eventually purchase the building, which I would have never been able to do in that shopping center. The rent would just be...
Right.
I might have gone bankrupt because creep up.
Oh, I have a lot of questions. But so when you got started, if you remember, I'm assuming you didn't just go out and buy, you know, put chairs in and put a sign up. So you must have planned it out some way, right? Strategically, I'm going to do this and this is what we need to market and this is how we're going to grow it, right? Do you remember what you did? Or are you just like, you didn't know you were just because you're young, right?
I was young.
You're freaking
and
out.
I wasn't really freaking out. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, that helps.
So it's kind of like a little boy that gets on a dirt bike when he doesn't know how to ride and he just goes. And if he falls,
doesn't get hurt because he has no fear.
Exactly.
But you had two people that were working with you. So you had some people to bounce some ideas off of, right?
And well, when I first started, no, I had
just
nobody.
You.
I just was like, and then it took a couple weeks.
Right.
I think 2 weeks in, A woman who still works with me now walked in with a bag and was just like, "Are you hiring?" And I was like, "Do you have any clients?" She was like, "Well, I have about 12. And I was like, "That's 12 more than I do. You're hired."
That's fun. It was like you're in a nest and your dad like dropped you over the top and get good luck. And then here you are, right?
Honestly,
you're young. It's like, you don't
that
know.
That is how it is. I compare it to being on a cliff, a high one, and you're going to jump. You have to jump and you're getting pushed and you have, you know, you can land, you can die, or then when you land, you can swim.
Right.
And sometimes I had a little bit of resentment on how could you have put me in that position?
Yeah.
At that young age. But they saw something in me that I didn't see. And I've experienced that with employees. And they knew that I was capable of more than what I thought I was capable of. And
right.
having someone believe in you through your journey and through this path in life, that is a life lesson that I will take with me and that I try to have it roll over to the people that I lead on my team, because I literally was pushed off the side and it was like, okay, take a deep breath. And I didn't have a business plan.
Right.
There was no marketing plan. I was in a great town. I was in a shopping center that was very busy and people started coming in and
yeah.
I was nice. I
right.
would smile.
Yeah.
I,
and that's
you what know, you I tried
By
to
By the way,
nice
people listening, it doesn't mean you and I recommend don't write a business plan if you start your business.
No.
But it worked out for you.
Never. No, don't
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, I think everyone needs
not.
A mentor. You know, I think that there, if you read that book, what's the book? Gladwell's book, Outliers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always somebody that intervenes or a mentor or somebody along the way that makes you more successful. We all need a mentor, you know, somebody to, because you see things now, and so do I, that, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we're just too stupid. I mean, we had no experience.
100%.
And you see that in people now, you know, where you're like, you know, that person really has a lot of potential. They have no clue.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. So
I was just going to say the resources now are so incredible that I almost look for reverse mentors
yeah.
so that I can learn things. And I have, because when I started my business, I started with a book and a pencil. And when someone paid, we highlighted it yellow. That's
nice.
How we knew that we got the
yeah,
money.
That was
and
your
now
system.
It's computers and,
right.
and your cell phone and your software that you could check in on your phone and an iPad. So we definitely have grown organically, if you will.
But right. But you and I still, we have our own mentors that are just at the next
yes.
level. And then you can help people below you. When you're 19, it's a little hard to help people. They need to help you.
So. Oh, absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
and that took a lot of.
So do you remember what was the. So you're at the point where you're losing your lease in a very short period of time. You could have just started looking for space, right? And you're going to move. But what was the impetus? Do you remember why you said, you know what? Let's buy an operating business and move to that location versus just finding another space?
Well, so there wasn't a lot of real estate that was around. And when the real estate was there, you have to do the build out and the fit out.
Right.
And you had to look at what the square foot cost is going to be. And then, you know, make sure that I can relocate all of my equipment that I had that I spent, you know, the loan that I took, it was a lot of money. And,
right.
you know, I needed that to bring that with me. Listen, I'm scrappy. I'm resourceful. I will do what I have to do. And I always plan, do, and review. So I was just exploring my options. I was looking for
different. So you didn't know at that point if you could find a business, you might have to open another location.
100%. But there
yeah.
wasn't a lot of real estate in between the two lights where I knew
right.
where I wanted to be.
Yeah. So you had really a small footprint that would really be your optimal place. Because, I mean, how far in your estimate do people go? Like if you say, okay, well, we couldn't find anything in Bernardsville, so now we have to move to, what's a town nearby you that's a little bit further away?
Basking Ridge.
Yeah, okay, so you got to move to Basking Ridge. Are they going to go, like, how far could you move? And the people that like you and you cut their hair, they're going to go there.
If you've built up a really strong clientele, they will follow you probably up to 20 miles or so, but it's extra. And that was not in my plan.
Right.
To move towns. My
right.
my plan
well, it's
was
hard.
To
that's
stay
an
in
hour
Bernardsville.
Round trip, basically, for somebody to get their hair cut.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's just not how my business was built. My business was built on a transient type of walk-in business, if you will, initially, which that really was what worked for me because I was in this shopping center. And then once after 5 years,
they had traffic there.
Right. We had a really good established clientele that we just needed to, you know, do the best, shortest, quickest, you know, easiest way. And I mean, what a gift from God. I look at it now. It's like, wow, I literally was able to move and relocate and then purchase the building.
Yeah. Well, you almost didn't
later.
Even skip a beat. I mean, Mm-mm. Right? You move across the street. I'm going to keep going to you, of course.
Absolutely. It was great. Thank God.
How long ago did you buy the building?
I bought the building in 2011. So I came over into the space in 2002, and then by 2011, we had made the purchase of the real estate.
And is the building, it's not your only location, I think you told me, right?
It's not. No, this is.
Can you stay in that space in the building? Is it got plenty of room for that particular location?
Absolutely. I did do a renovation because when I took this building over, it was a salon on the first floor and a spa on the second floor.
Different business.
Right. Prior to COVID, we were so busy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so busy that I literally had to take the spa out of the second floor and I relocated into the property next door. So now I have the wellness center, which is next door to the main salon. And then the main salon is now we have basically two salons, one on the first floor and one on the second floor.
I see. Okay, fine. So you can go to either one. But right now, you're at a distance. You got to set stuff up. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you remember, like, how did it go when you were growing your business and marketing and, you know, getting people in the door? I mean, what did you do to grow the business?
Again, like, you know, a lot of community service efforts, being involved and saying yes to every single time someone came in and asked me for a donation.
Supporting something,
whatever. I always said yes, 100%. Doing haircuts for St. Baldrick's, you know, working on the fashion show for the students at the high school. Literally, I believe we've done it for 24, 25 years, which was incredible because I graduated high school. And then the next year I did the fashion show.
Did you go to school there? Is that where you're from?
I did graduate from Bernard's High School. Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Fine.
So I grew up in Scotch Plains and then we relocated and I graduated from here. So, it just was, being outside, being out there on the sidewalk, passing out marketing material, always putting ads in the newspaper at that time was very popular. The yellow pages were very popular. It's so different now, obviously. But just doing that, trying to stay top of mind for people, trying to stay relevant and be current and always bring the latest trends and whatever was beautiful, the best products, having the best color line on the market, which we still have. That's Goldwell.
Right.
It's a beautiful color line. That's really what I, tried to do. And then connect with the clients when they're there, you know, have them talk, be kind, not have a pretentious attitude, really just know
make them
that,
feel
you know,
welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're in that, you know, there's some businesses that are not so tangible and some businesses that are more tangible. And, you know, your business is the kind of business where you want to make people feel good about themselves and, you know, feel like they're not in a schlocky place and, you know, that there's a certain quality to it. But I was talking to somebody the other day. You are really, for the lack of a better term, a guerrilla marketer. I mean, there are people out there that are what I call, you know, they're into hand-to-hand combat. Now, I agree with you. It's harder to do today with everything that's going on. But frankly, you didn't really stop that. I mean, so it's online now. So now all your guerrilla marketing or the videos you post and, you know, all the interaction, the social stuff that's going on, it's just different. You can't be on a street corner necessarily handing out flyers that people don't want to hold because they don't know where they came from.
That's right.
But, you know, that's how it just seems to be more of your nature than, right? Like somebody didn't tell you something like, Jessica, you're doing this all wrong. You should do it this way. It was kind of like always the way you were, right?
Yes. I'm a hustler. And I love the grind. I love the grit of really working hard to support the people that are here on my team. I love signing their paychecks. I love watching them grow. I love being able to put myself out there as the CMO of the company to make sure that there's always people coming in, that there's always that vibe of heart and extra love that is there for our clients and for the people that are on the team. That's really, you know, why I do what I do.
Yeah, I think to a certain extent, that's a learned skill. Like people can learn it, but if it's not really in your DNA, you're only going to be so good at it. You know, like a lot of it's very intuitive for you.
Absolutely.
You know, because I see you on your videos. Like there's some people I watch videos and I'm like, eesh. And you know, your videos are very, they're just good. I mean, they're just, they're just very good. That was back in, you said first you moved there in 2002, you bought the business, right? Then you bought the building in 2011. How many locations do you have now?
We have 4 locations.
Okay. And they're all hanging in there with
I'm still open.
Right. Well, that's more than a lot of people can say.
Still open. And I'm trying to reinvent myself now. I'm trying to find other streams of income.
Yeah.
To be able to take care of the things that I have to take care of. I don't necessarily have to be married to the income from this location must support only that location. I think there's no rules right now. There's no right or wrong. If I'm going to be able to get income to be able to take care of landlord number two or number three from this place, I just have to do what I have to do right now to make ends meet because I put myself in this situation.
Yeah.
And that's really where my focus is at right now.
Yeah. A little bit of survival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a tough way to run a business sometimes long-term. You don't want, you know, one location to lose money and then to be taking away from the others to support it. But at this point, you don't want to make that decision that, well, I'm going to close that location because we're losing money. That could change in 3 months. You know, things turn around. A vaccine's now coming out. They said people are going to get it next week. So probably by the springtime, when the flowers start coming through the grass again, we'll, you know, people come out and say, wow, I can go to my salon again, you know?
I hope so. I mean, I had just opened the location in Mendham a year and a half ago.
Oof.
A little, you know, so I didn't even give that little baby seed a chance.
Yeah.
It hasn't had a chance to survive. And then what happened with COVID, you know, it's just being closed down. My focus had to be on the main salon and the employees that I had.
Right.
And making sure that all of our mental health and our routines and systems that we had try to help and support myself, my family, and the employees, like that really became my focus. So it was like, okay, this has to take a seat. I try to plate things in my life. So I will take the one off the plate and I'll deal with it at that moment. And then I'll put it back and I'll let it spin again.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a good way of, you know, compartmentalizing things.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you been doing in terms of pivoting? So we came into, cause my law practice has been the same, right? Once April hit, I had no business for like 3 or 4 months because like you're my client, right? And you're worried about whether you're going to even be in business. You're not calling your lawyer about something or doing a deal or opening a new location. So what kind of things did you do to pivot when you were literally shut down. I mean, you were shut down by the governor.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do at that time?
Right in the beginning, I turned inward and I really tried to look at how am I going to be able to be strong enough? What tools do I have that I can speak to my staff and to myself every day to keep positive and to keep hope.
Not just financially, you mean emotionally as well.
100%.
Yeah.
Because we were so busy. And then I felt like Lieutenant Dan, my legs were cut off.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. So I would look at my daily practice of, you know, what can I do? Bringing in meditation, bringing in journaling, bringing in time to think and reflect and, you know, you felt like you were in prison. No disrespect to anybody that has been. I'm just telling you from my perspective.
It's you felt trapped.
I am being told that I'm trapped here and I cannot do what I normally would do. So
right.
You have to then look for options to say, okay, well, how am I going to make the best of this tragedy? And it's trauma. You're sitting there in this place and you feel helpless, hopeless. And it's like, okay, well, you have to talk to yourself. You have to be kind. You have to know that you're in this spot. And through adversity comes opportunity. So we would start doing weekly meetings. I would talk to people on the phone that I work with. We would do the weekly Zoom thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it wasn't easy because you felt like sometimes they're looking at you like, okay, now what is she going to say now?
She's right.
Give us one of her pep talks.
Right. Well, but I think people at the beginning, I was like sitting on the couch and thinking, I mean, how long could this last? Is it a couple of weeks? And then I was thinking, I can't work on my laptop on a couch. I got to like pretend like put on a shirt and wash up. And so I set up a little desk because I didn't have one in the house and started doing, I was doing Zoom calls and podcasting from the attic. But, I think we were all kind of in denial for a short period of time.
100%. I mean, I thought this was going to be maybe a 2 week thing.
Yeah,
and then
right.
2 weeks
so did
turned
I.
into two more and then two more. And then I was like, I'm on a bus to nowhere and I'm not driving. And when I'm not in control, I feel helpless. So what I've learned through this is that when you feel helpless and hopeless, you have to look at the opposite and look at, okay, what can I do?
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21,000. That's LAW to 21000 to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show. Right.
What can I do? You can get on the internet. You can put yourself on Zooms. You can schedule meetings. You can put yourself out there. You can try to, you know, think about other streams of income that you can create for yourself and for others that are around you. I mean, you know, you have a family, you're providing for your family. I have a family, and we needed the revenue that was coming into the home. It's just, it was really, and it just, it still is, like, cause we're still sitting in it, and it's, you know,
I think we're a year away from really being like out and about, you know, maybe by summertime, you know, we'll be more getting more comfortable with things, see what happens.
But. Yeah. I mean, well, 100 years ago when this, when the Spanish flu hit, it definitely, if you look at those trends, it seems like it came in and it went out. So if we're going to be on track to do that, it, you know, 18 months, get in and get out. And I hope it's gone. And I hope we don't have to worry about something like this, you know, in our lifetime ever again. You know, after 9/11, we thought, wow, we've really been affected by this tragedy. And then, you know, we just came out of a really bad recession. And it just has been, I think it's been a lot for our generation and then for our children, what they've went through. You know, I have 20-year-old daughters and, you know, they're in their 20s. And it's like what they've had to go through. I didn't have a childhood like that.
No.
My childhood was
mine was very straight line. You go to school, you do your work, go to college. And I don't know what I was going to do. I ended up in law school. And my son is in, he's 20 also. He's in college, junior. He's having trouble learning programming like online and from his apartment. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. There's, you know, this distancing, this isolation in your mind. It's not supposed to be how it is, you know, but I'm looking at these kids and I know that they're going to be so much more, they're going to be so capable of way more than what I am and what you are and what we are as, you know, in our age group than what we were because of this situation that they've been put through. They're going to have to learn to roll their sleeves up. And thank God that there's support out there that, you know, they can get on Zoom calls and talk to a therapist and talk to a mentor, find a mentor. We all need those things for business and life for sure. Yeah.
No, I think that the kind of things that our parents faced, whether it's Vietnam War, World War II, things like that, we didn't think in our lifetime we'd ever have to deal with that stuff again. And then you get to 9/11 and terrorism, all stuff. And then now a virus that you can't see. I mean, my daughter was at her dance studio, which is out towards you in North on 22 and maybe it's North Plainfield there, North Plainfield, Greenbrook, right in that area. Mm-hmm. And they're very careful, mask spray, no problem. There was a girl came down with COVID. Nobody got it because they were so careful. So they're filming like for the Nutcracker because they normally do a recital, which they can't do this year, right? So they figure we'll film it, we'll live stream it, whatever. Outside, green screens. I think my daughter had her mask off for 7 minutes. And one of the girls she dances with, her partners, that they, the two of them lift up, had COVID, didn't know it, didn't tell anybody she wasn't feeling well. And my daughter came down with it. We were quarantined for a week and a half. So, and, cause you can't see it. You can't, that's, you know, you can't deal with something like that, but it's, but I also think that, and I was talking to somebody from London, who's a friend of mine, is in marketing. I think resiliency is like going to be a big topic and a big part of what we do from a business planning standpoint going forward, you know, because it's something we never thought we'd have to deal with.
That's
like
right.
Being resilient.
Yeah. And renewal. You know, renewing, it's like, you know, you renew your mind every day when you get up. You know, it brings me back to when I first started without a formal business plan. That's almost how this is right now. And thank God I have some experience with it because I've done it once before.
Right.
You can't plan for this.
No, it's very uncertain. If you do plan, it's probably going to change in 2 weeks. So.
Exactly.
But you're not the kind of person, nor am I, that's just going to throw their hands up and say, well, because you can't plan. I'm just, there's nothing I can do. You're going to find something to do. I'm sure just like me, there was only so long that you could sit still and feel sorry for yourself. Well, look out the window. You're like, I'm not going to be the one of the people that don't survive this. It's just a mindset.
Right. But it's a mindset.
Yeah.
It is a mindset. That's right.
So what have you done? So doing business with people obviously had to move online. So if you're a gym, you could do classes online. If you're a pizza place, you could do delivery and home kits and things like that. What did you guys do?
We did virtual consultations.
Like teaching people how to cut their own hair?
We didn't do that. We did, on your skin and on your makeup, how to take care of your skin when you're home,
right.
Doing consultations on, what does your color look like? Do you need to actually color your roots? And then we were making color kits. So we would.
That would be shipped to their home that they could do themselves.
Exactly. We would ship the color kits. And that actually turned out to really, really help people. Not only did it help the people that we were on Zoom with in giving them connection, but it helped the staff and it helped the people that were doing this with us because it gave us purpose during this time. Purpose is so important.
Yeah.
And when you get off of a Zoom call with somebody and they're like, thank you so much. You see me, you hear me, if I was the client, that's really what the response was. And then we would ship them some makeup because when you get up and you put your shirt on, you take a shower, you get ready, you're groomed. When you look good, you feel better. That's my motto. When your outer looks good, your inner feels better. We do work on the inside, which is why I have the wellness center. But, it starts with getting up, getting dressed, and showing up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people, a lot of people I would go to these meetings and there'd be people in like t-shirts with the neck pulled down or whatever. And I'm like, you can be in your underwear. Just put on a shirt. Nobody's going to know, just don't stand up during the meeting.
That's the thing. And I think, it's hard to see somebody that's like that and you want to help them because you come from that place, but it's almost meeting everybody where they're at to say they must be struggling or, how are you today? Doing a check-in with the people that we see that they might be a little off and you could tell, if your emotional intelligence, your intuition is like, oh, and then you stop and you ask, you do that check-in with them. Then it's like, oh, thanks for asking, I'm okay. Or this sucks, and it does.
Well, so it almost gave you an opportunity to connect, to stay connected with your clients who normally would be sitting in a chair talking to you. It's always therapy when you get your hair cut.
Absolutely. And one of the girls that works here said that she lined up all her mannequins because we do a lot of training and education and she was the head of education. So she's like, I put all my mannequins around the dining room table and I just talked to them as if they were my clients. I mean, we were cracking up. Like we are very.
For practice or just for peace of mind?
For peace of mind.
Right.
Just for fun.
Go crazy.
At home, just because she was like freaking out.
Right.
It's like we're.
Well, we rely on interaction with human beings.
Totally. Especially the beauty industry.
Yeah.
We
sure.
need it. It's like that's our life. Our breath is connecting and helping people feel good. And when you don't have it, you almost lose your purpose. You're like, oh gosh, well. Then you don't feel good about yourself because you're not able to help others. It definitely is a double-edged sword there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And a lot of it has, you don't realize the ramifications on the smaller local businesses like your industry. I was talking to somebody the other day about my dry cleaner. Like, we used to go to work. We'd wear suits because we want to look good along with, of our personal care. The dry cleaner's like, their business down like 2/3. I mean, I bring shirts in. I don't bring pants in every week. I'll wear them a couple of times. I don't have suits now at all.
Right. So in looking at that business, the dry cleaners, I'm sure they're sitting there not sleeping at night wondering what else can I do?
I'll be honest with you, and I'm pretty good. I don't know what I would do if I was a dry cleaner. Like what would you it's like you said before, if you want to survive, I think in today's world, you do need multiple streams of income, right?
100%.
So if you start a color line or you have this and that, you could sell it online and kits or whatever. So if this happens again, you're more prepared and you have income coming from different places. What do you do as a dry cleaner? What do you do? What's your other source of income? Do you sell hangers? I don't know.
Listen, people are sleeping a lot. They're in their beds. So at a minimum, they could be marketing to do the comforters, do the sheets, bring me your shoes,
right.
Bring me your shoes, bring me your sneakers, bring me your Uggs, your boots. We'll clean them. We'll, you know,
There's
always a way.
Well, they're not doing any of that. I haven't seen any ads from any dry cleaners, at least in my area, for anything like that.
Well, hopefully they'll be able to wrap their heads around some things or, you know, do something different.
Some people are so used to people just walking in the door.
Right. And depending on how long you're in business, I think it can be such a drag because it's so much work. So if you've been doing something for 40 years, I literally just received a letter the other day from a salon and she said, you know, basically she needs to close down and she wants to sell me her business. Am I interested?
How did she find you?
I have no idea.
Just maybe online, call her back yet. Video, a friend, whatever.
But she's been in business for 40 years and she's done. You know, I mean, like, and probably she wouldn't have if COVID didn't happen.
Right.
But now she's putting her business up for sale because she's like, I'm done.
Right. You know? There are people, a lot of people like that, that were thinking about it. Maybe I'll retire 5 to 7 years. And this hits and they're like, forget it. I don't want to learn all this technology that I didn't have to deal with.
I'm out.
I mean, my dad's 77. He's on Zoom. He never, ever wanted to do. He would go back to, remember those Palm Pilots that weren't even connected to your computer? They were like PDAs. First, he had a book called a Daytimer where he'd have a different book for each month, right? He'd write his thing. Then he got to the PDA and that was enough for him. The fact that his phone is connected, he doesn't want this all connected. Now he's got to go online and he's like, I'm going nuts.
I know.
Who wanted it's crazy. That? You know,
look at Jack too. I mean, Jack is out there. Jack has done so much in his career and he's on all these podcasts and Zooms and doing this and that. It's like, it's incredible.
You know, the funny thing is Jack is the one who told me about Zoom. What's Jack, 80 years old?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's something close to that. Mm-hmm. I think he's 78, 80 years old. And I was like, what's Zoom? He's like, oh, it's this platform. I got people over the country I'm coaching. I can do up to 15. And I don't know. Imagine, what do I need that for? And then here we are.
That's resourceful. That's renewing. That's being innovative. I mean, it's like, listen, that's the real entrepreneurs. The real entrepreneurs, they're going to make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, did you think ever in your industry you would be on Zoom with customers?
Never. You know, I always said I was very confident, a little bit. I think I had a little bit of an arrogance and an ego to my industry saying we will withstand anything. We withstood recessions, 9/11, da, da, da. You know, liquor stores and the hair salons, we're going to be good. Beauty industry and the liquor stores, we're going to make it.
People will come back. There's no question about it.
But the liquor stores thrived during this COVID and we were shut down. How did I know?
Right.
Well,
because you didn't have something that they could just have delivered. You can't deliver a haircut. You can't deliver a facial, you know.
Nope.
Yeah, that's difficult. Now, so it just made me think of something. Were you doing, because I see you on social media and we'll put your links in if everybody wants to see. You have great videos and all the stuff you're putting out there. Pre-COVID, were you doing a lot of that stuff on social media to promote your businesses or it wasn't really necessary at that point?
I had a social media presence.
Yeah.
It wasn't like what happened during COVID because I felt the need to connect.
Right.
And me so too. That was my way of getting involved and trying to put myself out there. I don't like to be necessarily, you know, my voice, you know, when you first start hearing your voice, you're like, oh God, is that what I sound like?
Podcasting was very difficult for me to start out. I was like, people like, you have a very good voice for radio. I'm like, are you sure you're not just like listening to something else? Cause that's not how I sound to myself. Cause you don't. You do have a very good voice and everything, and you're great on videos, but I'm sure you don't see it that way. But after a while, you get comfortable with it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been a push afterwards, but you know, it's like, then that is your time and your resources, energy, you know, goes into doing that. So, you know, I look at everything and what's the return on this investment going to be? And, you know, I'm sitting here with you. I think that's a good return. I met Jack. That's a great return. Sandy is actually, she saw some of my videos on LinkedIn and reached out and she happens to be a client at the salon. And she said, I don't know if you know who I am, but I am a client of
Sandy?
Jay Walker.
Serbanek?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank
she
you
connects
for helping
me with
their
so
last name.
Many people.
Yeah. So I really think that she might've been the first connection that you went through her was how you and I, and
oh,
she
maybe that's how it started.
Jack as well.
Got
and,
it.
I definitely always like to give credit where the credit's due, but I would not have been able to say her last name properly.
I hope I'm saying it properly. People botch my name up all the times. So I don't care.
Yeah. Yours is tough too.
Yeah. But you know, from a branding standpoint and from being the face of the organization, I mean, you know, you're Jay Walker Salons. I mean, you're all your people kind of rely on you to be out there, that person, that face, because it drives the organization. So it all kind of fits together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you do more on, do you do more on Facebook versus LinkedIn versus, I don't know, what's the other ones? Instagram, Snapchat, Ghost Chat. I don't know what these things
are. So for the companies, we're very heavy on Facebook and on Instagram, of course. Instagram is the big thing. So we do a business push on there with our work and with the staff, and we'll feature some of the staff. You can, if you go online and look at them, you know, it'll say meet Lorena or meet Lorraine or meet Chris. And they're very fun, beautiful photos of them with their story and what they love and what they're into. And then on LinkedIn, I do more of personal branding and, you know, connecting with the people who are watching that maybe they might be going through something tough. So I try to share some of my experiences so that I can maybe help them, you know, inspire someone or, you know, promote someone to maybe make an adjustment or to, you know, just give a little bit of education and awareness around some things that I've learned and that have helped me or not. If I failed at something, I have shared that too.
It's a little bit of a give back.
Mm-hmm.
Pay exactly. It forward type of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Which makes me feel good from when I was a little girl. That's how it started.
Right. Of course. Well, that's what makes it all go around. I mean, I forget, you know, the funny thing is when I met Jack, I think I got introduced to Jack by a guy I know who they wouldn't know each other if they passed in the street. Like, I don't know how, what the connection was, but my friend said, I want to introduce you to this guy, Jack. And maybe it was through email. Then we had breakfast together and we hit it off. That was 15, 20 years ago. He's the first guest on the podcast. You should listen to his story. It's like two episodes. It's crazy. I should bring him on probably for my 100th or something.
Yes, definitely.
And but they never, I don't know what happened. They never connected, personally, but we did. But you know, it's funny how it all kind of comes, you know, together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are you doing these days? Like, where are you going with the industry and everything that you're doing right now?
So these days, actually this day today, I have a camera crew that's upstairs on the third floor of the salon, and we're going to be doing some recording of clothes that I have that are for sale.
And is that something you started in? You went into clothes?
I started that when I took on the location in Mendham.
Okay.
It was a boutique type makeup studio from hair and makeup, and it had a boutique for clothing as well, which, you know, it's not my lane. I haven't done clothes ever. And did I regret it? Absolutely. However, when I'm in this, we're in the beauty industry, we're inspirers. People come to us and they're like, oh, where'd you get your shoes? Where'd you get your jacket?
Right,
where'd you get
course.
Your pants? I love them. So, you know, I said, well, if I love it and I wear it and I can bring it to my guests and to the clients that I have who are my friends and they're like family, why not? So that was the mindset behind, you know, doing the space in Mendham and bringing
income,
the clothes. Exactly. And
but now no one's coming in.
Well, right. And no one's going to the malls really. So I'm like, well, how can I bring them all to us? I want to bring them all to you. And so now I have all these clothes and there's not as many people coming in. So I'm like, let me just try to see if I could put these Bianco jeans and pants on Instagram and see if I can sell them. And I have these beautiful jackets and I'm like, I'm going to see if I can sell them. So that's what we're doing today. And you know what?
Okay.
There's some downtime and it's fun. So I, with everything that I do, I like to obviously help someone make some money and have fun.
That's probably a good philosophy.
Yeah.
Have you started other lines like skincare products, hair care products, anything like that?
The plan with doing Mendham was to take over and brand my own makeup line.
Okay.
And then a little something went down with that process. So it was on pause. And right now there's some things in the works, but I don't have anything specific. I have one lip gloss that's branded to Jay Walker. That's the first item that we've done, and it's really pretty. It has a light and a little mirror. We're selling them for like $12, you know, just because I like it. So I figured if I like it and people ask me, wow, I like your lip gloss. Then I'm like, okay, here's one.
Right. You know? Yeah. But if COVID hadn't hit, you probably would have more.
I probably would have. Exactly. But you know what? I wouldn't be in the same space spiritually or mentally. So I think that there are blessings, a lot of blessings that came out of it. It was tragic. It is horrible. So many people have passed away and that's terrible.
Yeah.
And it's
but there are silver
so sad.
Linings. I mean,
but there's always silver linings in everything that goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we would have met. I don't, No,
no way.
Because we're out of, you know, I don't go to Burnsville for my hair. I'm not sure why I go to Milburn. I used to work over there. I don't anymore, but I still drive to go there.
Because when you meet your person, they become your person. And then there's that loyalty and they're like your free family and you become friends. I get that. I love the loyalty aspect of things. I mean, we have clients that have been here literally since we opened.
I think some of the more stressful times in my life have been like your hairstylist or your barber, whoever says, oh, I'm moving to North Carolina or something like that. And you're like, but who's going to cut my hair? Then you got to like work with somebody else. And then if you like it or you don't like it or tell them what you do, it's, you know, very hard. It's much easier to just sit down and say, hey, you know, my hair, you cut it.
Yeah, that's not how it works, though. I mean, you literally, that stylist has to ask the right questions and do an in-depth consultation so that she can figure out or he can figure out what you don't want.
Yeah.
Which typically can lead you to what you do. You know, there definitely has to be a system behind the chair to figure out, you know, how are you going to deliver, you know, what it is that you're used to and looking for with your, you know, with your haircut and all.
Yeah, because as a customer, it's very hard for me to explain that to somebody who knows what they're doing.
There's an unspoken language that people will do in the chair, and it's kind of like, oh yeah, I like da 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 da. You know, I want to
like
this
doesn't mean anything, right?
You know, but so I know that it means they might want bangs, they might want to keep their hair long. You know, somebody starts going like this, they want volume. There's like this unspoken language that happens with our industry that, you know, when you're in it, you know.
That's pretty funny. If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.